First, when COVID-19 hit, there were big worries about the impact it could have on state and local budgets. Shutdowns, business closures, and a big jump in unemployment had many states worried that they'd suffer long-term revenue losses like they did during the Great Recession. A new analysis, though, has found that a lot of states' revenues remained at the same level that they were in 2019. In some states, they even increased. In part, that was because of federal aid packages. And state and local budgets are a part of the story in the relief package in the U.S. Senate today. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. How did the pandemic affect your business, your personal financial situation? If you work in local government, a city, town, county, village, you name it, did you take a hit early last year? Have you recovered? Are there challenges you are still facing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Louise Shaner is an economist and senior fellow at the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at the Brookings Institution. Louise, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, among the many scary things about COVID, obviously the health impacts first and foremost, there was this concern last year, March, April, as we had all these shutdowns, that this was going to really wreck a lot of state and local budgets. What were the concerns from the vantage point of, say, March, April 2020?
So, yeah, last March and last April, people were talking about the potential for $1 trillion in losses in state and local revenues. And the way they kind of calculated that was to look at the experience of the Great Recession, look at the huge increase in the unemployment rate in April, and sort of say, well, you know, for every 1 percentage point of the unemployment rate, state and local governments, you know, tend to lose this many billions of dollars. And they calculated these numbers that were just huge. And that turned out to be not the case. This recession is really different from previous recessions. First of all, apart from the fact that this recession is very different, one of the things that happened is the unemployment rate came down quite a bit faster than people realized. But even controlling for that, this recession is different in part, as you said, because of the big fiscal packages that have been passed. For example, the increase in unemployment benefits in the last spring's legislation, the CARES Act, which increased unemployment benefits by $600 per week. In most states, unemployment insurance is taxable. Not all states, but most, which means that even though unemployment was up, actually taxable income didn't fall that much. Similarly, this turned out, and this is also not a good thing, but this recession is particularly concentrated on low-income workers, people who are in the service industries, travel, hospitality, all that stuff has been really, really affected. The wages in those industries are quite low. So that meant for a given unemployment rate, the loss of taxable income was pretty small. And for higher income people, they've done quite well. You know, their unemployment really hasn't suffered. It did in April, but it's back. And then finally, the stock market's done incredibly well after swooning in March. So it fell in March. Everybody's like, oh, it's low stocks. But no, it's actually done very well. That's also boosting state and local revenues.
And that's mostly income taxes we've been talking about so far. A lot of states, including Wisconsin, rely and local governments rely in part on sales taxes. And again, if people are unemployed, they're presumably not able to buy stuff. That's going to hurt sales taxes. How much did the relief package allow levels of spending to stay at a more normal level?
So levels of spending aren't at a normal level. They're down, but it's not mostly because people didn't have the money. So unlike other recessions, lower income people, actually, their spending has been sort of stronger than higher income people. And that's mostly because of the kinds of things that they buy. So higher income people have not been consuming that much because all the they can't go out to eat and the travel. There's so many things that are kind of restrained, not because of money, but because of social distancing. So the packages help keep consumption from falling a lot, given the increase in unemployment, and so really did help bolster revenues. But tax revenues are down on sales taxes still, but again, not as much as you might expect, because sales taxes tend to tax goods more than services, and goods people are buying online and able to buy. It's really the services that have been hurt so much, so that's helped somewhat as well.
One key word you just said there, online. And I've seen some economists say, you know, if this had happened 5 years ago or so before we had really consistent tax collection from online purposes, this could have hurt state governments a lot more. How much of a difference does that collection of taxes, state taxes on online purchases really make?
You know, I think it's quite large. You've seen this big shift to online shopping, but I personally haven't done any estimates of what that would be. But I presume it'd be quite large. The one source of revenue that's really interesting, that's really taken a hit in COVID, are anything related to transportation, gas taxes, airport taxes. State and local governments actually received quite a lot of revenue from that, and that's been hurt a lot. So transit agencies, have definitely seen their revenues plummet.
Talk to Louise Shaner from the Brookings Institution, looking at the impact of COVID-19 on state budgets, local government budgets. Not as big a hit as expected at the outset. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did enhanced unemployment help you keep spending on things you needed to buy? If you work in a local government, if you're on a town or county board, what have things looked like for you? Smooth sailing or tough times? 800-642-1234. Louise, this is kind of on average. It looks like some states have taken a bigger hit. Looking at a map, I've seen North Dakota, Alaska, and Texas saw revenue drops. I'm assuming there's oil has something to do with that. Local governments, it might depend if you're in a tourist-heavy area or not. How much of this is a localized problem?
So we don't have great data on the local. We have very good data on what's happened so far at the state level, but the local, because there's so many different governments, we don't have great data. But one thing is that property taxes, which is a very large component of local tax collections, have held up quite well. The housing market has been very strong. So I think on average, local governments are probably doing okay, except I think one thing that happened was at the beginning of the pandemic, when we were all so worried about these huge losses, state governments actually cut aid to local governments. And so I think that is the way that sort of that early action has really put a lot of local governments in a squeeze. And we'll have to see what happens next year. But as you mentioned, there's also quite a bit of variation across the states. You mentioned energy states. So energy states are doing poorly. But oil prices are down if they get a lot of their revenues from severance taxes on that. Alaska's not doing well. And then tourist states are also doing badly. And then finally, you know, states that don't have an income tax and are reliant on sales taxes and property taxes are taking a bigger hit.
Now, each time there's been an attempt at a federal relief package, the CARES Act or what have you, there's been a lot of talk about, okay, do we need big federal help for state and local governments? It was kind of put off in earlier packages. It's there some in the Biden package that the Senate is debating and kind of stalled on today. Do you think there needs to be a substantial federal investment to help state and local governments?
So even though there has been no direct aid so far in terms of just like general aid to offset general revenue losses, there has been a lot of aid. It's just been targeted at like K-12 education or hospitals or higher ed. And so there and a transit. So I think there have been about $400 billion already in aid to state and local governments. But the big missing piece in this discussion, and one reason I don't actually ever answer that question is, so revenues have been down, not as much as they expected, but they are down now, down relative to what would have happened without the pandemic. The aid has probably been larger than the revenue losses, but expenses are up, right? And that's the thing that's really hard to tell. We don't have a good handle on not just how much expenses have increased so far, but how much that should go up like in the year ahead. And one of the examples is if you think about what's happened with schooling, we know that a lot of kids have gotten behind, right? And so the right thing to do would be for the state and local governments to really invest in remedial education. We don't know how much this is going to cost. We don't know how much the vaccine rollout is going to cost or cleaning up the schools to get them open is going to cost. So we don't have a great sense. So I think that given how important it is to do things like the remedial education and sort of benefit to taxpayers who need it because of COVID in other ways, small business who might need help getting back online, I support giving state and local governments more money. So I think that they will use it by and large appropriately. And so, but I don't really have a good number on exactly how much they need because I just don't know how much those COVID expenses have been.
We're talking to Louise Shaner, senior fellow at the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at the Brookings Institution. We're looking at the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on state and local governments. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Should the newest round of likely, anyway, COVID-19 relief include this sort of direct aid for state and local governments? Did past aid packages help you keep your business open, keep your household intact, maybe while you were unemployed? What questions do you have for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Brookings Institution economist Louise Shaner. She's telling us about her research on how the pandemic affected state tax revenues. And we're taking a look at the proposed $1.9 trillion economic relief plan before the U.S. Senate today. Still time for you to join in, if you'd like, with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Louise, I know a lot of states early on cut expenses. You mentioned cutting aid to local governments in some ways. Some states laid off workers. Some, like Wisconsin, had furloughs for some state many state employees. Do you see those measures still in place, or are states starting to bounce back and bring those people back on the job?
So I'm going to apologize. My dog is downstairs and barking.
That's okay. We get to meet a lot of people's pets during the pandemic. It's been fine.
So I think that the employment situation, a question, is really an interesting one. The layoffs were very large. Unemployment is about 6% below where it has been. It's particularly in education, and state and local education employment is both down. And so one question is whether or not those declines in employment were because states were worried about money, or whether they're because you don't actually need all the employees, given the fact that your schools are still closed. Some of your parks are closed. Your DMVs are operating at a third capacity. And I think it's some combination thereof. And really, they haven't things fell very sort of deeply in last spring. They recovered somewhat over the summer, but they're still quite down, about 6 or 7% relative to pre-pandemic. So part of that might be states just being really cautious. I know some of them put hiring freezes in because of money and perhaps have not stopped them yet. But I think part of it will sort of start to come back as the economy starts to reopen, as vaccinations increase. But we'll have to see. That's sort of a mystery about why employment has fallen so much, given the fact that the revenue situation is really not that bad.
One criticism of the idea of federal relief, direct aid to state and local governments, some Republicans have described it as a blue state bailout, in some ways benefiting states, I guess, with Democratic governors or that traditionally vote Democratic more than others. Is there any indication that it would shake out that way in the kinds of aid that have been proposed?
I don't think so. I mean, most of the aid, so there was a $150 billion package passed last spring, and it was divided up across states by population, except that there was sort of a minimum level of $1.25 billion that went to the small states. And so the small states actually did very well from that package. And those were not particularly Democratic states. Some of them were, but most of them are small Republican states. So I don't think so. I think this is really intended to help deal with the effects of COVID. And I don't think that's a red state, blue state issue.
Now, you've also written about the possible overall economic impact on the economy of the proposed new relief package, again, subject to change today, even in the Senate. Big picture, though, what kinds of impacts do you look at that having on the American economy if passed?
Right. So it's a really big package, and there has been quite a bit of aid as well. And so we did this estimate trying to sort of figure out, what you do is you say, well, who's getting the money and how likely they are to spend it, and how quickly will they spend it? And then what will the impact on, when someone spends a dollar, then somebody else receives a dollar. And so it has extra effects on GDP. So we did this analysis. And what we found out was, without the aid, if we take the Congressional Budget Office economic projection, right, so it depends on what you think will happen without it, they say without it, we're going to be below where we were and where we would have been in terms of GDP, sort of economic activity, for many years. And we said with the package, we're actually going to get sort of even above where we otherwise would have been. So we'll have, by sort of the third quarter of this year, if the package passes, probably quite a booming economy, right? And so we'll have sort of people will have enough money to make up for some of the losses that they didn't, sort of the things they didn't buy and the restaurants they didn't go to and the vacations they didn't take. Sort of they'll be able to sort of do a whole bunch of that and really get the economy sort of moving and really kind of recovering very, very quickly. And I think that's the benefit of that is one of the things that people worry about is if you kind of have a mediocre recovery, then some of the people have left the labor force because they couldn't get a job. There's a lot of women who have left the labor force. And if you don't have a lot of impetus in the economy, maybe they'll just stay out, right? So maybe we'll have a very sort of poor economy for many years because of the sort of legacy effects of COVID. But if you do this thing that really runs the economy hot, I think you're less likely to. What people argue about is whether or not it's too much money, whether or not you're going to have so much demand and still not have enough supply, right? Everybody's going to want to go and buy stuff and they won't be able to supply it all, and whether or not that will create inflation. And so then you start talking about the Federal Reserve and monetary policy, and they've actually said they would welcome some inflation because we haven't had as much as inflation as they've wanted over the past 10 years. So they're going to welcome a period where inflation is kind of higher. But then the argument is about, well, how high is too high? And, you know, at some point, will we say that was just the economy's just, you know, going crazy and there's just way too much inflation, and then they'll have to raise interest rates. So that's what the debate's all about. But in our estimate, like, it's probably going to bring inflation up a little, but we are not too concerned about it. And we think it will sort of get the recovery going sort of very quickly, bring the unemployment rate down. And that really is very helpful for people. You know, a low unemployment rate is particularly helpful for people who don't have great education, who are sort of more marginally attached to the labor force. Maybe they have prison records. All those things that were before the pandemic, the unemployment rate was really, really low. It was 3.5%, and it was really great. And a big package can get us there fast, which would be really valuable.
And we'll leave it there, Louise. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Louise Shaner, Senior Fellow at the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at the Brookings Institution, with us for a look at the impact the COVID-19 pandemic had on state and local budgets.